I've always felt different. I've always seen things, but when I tried to express them as a child, I was always told to ignore it.
There were people that I didn't know that came to me and said, I have this message that I keep getting that I have to deliver to you.
All of a sudden, out of the shadows, a homeless man just jumped right in front of me, and he said, I'm a soul just like you.
I love it.
I wanted to understand the universe and who and what we are and what are we doing here.
Well, we're all part of this amazing soul wave tapping into each other.
This was a major life changer.
You are a light. You have helped me a ton. Thank you.
You've given me the courage to live more from my soul.
Millions of people are awakening.
So wake up with Michelle Miche. Be pleased to hear the best-selling authors and experts in the fields of cutting-edge self-help, personal growth, metaphysics, and spirituality. The Soul Path of Awakening.
Understand what living awake is.
Ooh, understand what living awake is. Hello, everyone. It's great to connect with all of you. Oh, if you happen to be new to this program and podcast, welcome. I'm Michelle. If you want to chit-chat or ask questions in the chat, you just have to do a profile with BTR, Blog Talk Radio. But you can ask questions in the chat if you want. If you're listening by computer, that's great. If you want to listen by phone, that number is 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad, and that'll get you on air, live on air. 347-539-5122 is the number. If you have a question or a comment, please press 1 on the keypad. 347-539-5122. And if you're new, we have live call-in at the beginning of the podcast for those that want to be a part of that. And then we have our awakening guest that comes on at the second half of the program. Hello in the chat, everyone. Good to see you all. So I also want to give a thanks and a shout out those of you that have been giving wonderful reviews on Apple Podcasts as well as 5 stars on Spotify. We appreciate it. The team appreciates it. It really means a lot, you taking the time to do that. And also those of you that have been subscribing to Awakenings with Michelle Miche on YouTube, we are getting over there live. Pretty soon, it's getting closer, so just bear with us. And then also coming and hanging out also at, I'm going to give just, I have seen a lot of people calling in. If you had a question or a comment, please press 1 on your keypad. If you wanted to get on air, if you wanted a reading, 347-539-5122 is that number. We have a great guest coming on at the second half of the program, so you want to stick around for that. We're going to be talking to spiritual philosopher Peter Canova and talking about his recent book, Quantum Spirituality, Science, Gnostic Mysticism, and Connecting with Source Consciousness, right up our alley. So stick around for that, if you will. So I had some questions come in. I'd like to answer email questions and texting, and people put questions in the comments. A lot right now being kind of torn on their path or distracted a bit. And I've been talking about this a bit in the Pick of Cards, and I've been talking about this quite a bit in our deeper dive on Patreon, that we are in this time of a lot of chaos. I call it chaos magic. Scientists may call it chaos theory or physicists. But it is a real thing, and even a metaphysical and an occult thing, is that out of the chaos and confusion comes creativity and some kind of new order. So actually, the more chaos there is in the planet or even in your life, the more potential you have. When everything is in flux and flow before things start forming. And of course, we want a bit of randomness, right? We want a bit of spontaneity within our life, within our structure of life. So I'm saying kind of lean into that a bit. Find what helps you, what supports you, what grounds you, what centers you. However, what I would say is not to run from it. And then some people have left questions, there's so much going on in the world, I don't know if I'm making a difference. And of course, I'm always saying, yes, you are, because the only thing that's going to change the world is consciousness. It's people changing their consciousness and therefore awareness, up-leveling in consciousness. A lot of the other things, you know, even marching, all that kind of stuff, if the consciousness doesn't change, then the situation will not change. And we haven't had a real up-leveling in consciousness in a very, very long time. We're at that point again. So what you can do to support that helps the collective, because not only because we're all interconnected, but it is like it's a transmission. It's a transmitting or broadcasting of a higher vibrational frequency. Just like when you go to a sacred site, you feel peace. You can tell the difference. You can feel calm. If people have been arguing in a house or in a room and you come in, you can sense something's off, you know, or two people aren't getting along. Could be more, but let's just keep it simple. You can get the vibe. You can feel something's off, or maybe they just had a misunderstanding, or maybe they had an argument, or maybe they didn't sleep enough. So we're registering all of this always subconsciously. It's registering within our subconscious mind and within our body. So when we do, when more and more people, you know, practice things like meditation, centering, or kindness, or work on themselves, or repatterning, or shadow material, or working on emotional repatterning, you know, getting rid of as much as possible conditioned response patterns, moving more into authentic relating, getting more of a design or matrix that is aligned with the soul, you know, the pattern of the soul, the design, the matrix of the soul, that radiates out. That's not only beneficially affecting you and those around you, but it does radiate out into the into groups, into the community, into the city, into the state, into the world. So yeah, we really do have an impact to make by our thought process and by our consciousness. And by no means do I mean people have to be perfect or not ever get upset or angry. It's not about that. It's about living from that place. Processing is great, or cycling through something, going through something and letting the emotions go through. It's just when we stay in these stuck states, like I always like to say, like an instrument that the strings are too tight, you know, the piano strings or the guitar strings or cello strings, it doesn't play very well. I don't even think it can play at all, actually. It doesn't make a harmonious sound. Or if the strings are too loose, there's not the harmonious sound there. And every so often we need attunements or adjustments individually and also as a collective. And that's part of this great awakening that's happening, is there is this fine-tuning, this attuning and aligning to a higher vibrational frequency way of being, which is more from the soul and less from wounding and less from ego. Faith in the chat. I forgot to scroll down for the chat. Hi in the chat. Yeah, sometimes I forget to scroll down as well. So it's really important that you do, as your next level of awakening, that you move more into that idea of your inner authority, your sovereignness, that your right to be. You know, I was working with a client the other day, and a lot came up with entitlement. And I know we have a bad, you know, perception of that word. And I love looking up derivations of words, even the etymology of words, because it can tell us a lot. And yes, entitlement does have a negative or pejorative, you know, connotation. However, when you look at the synonyms, what's similar to it is your right to be, and that you deserve something. And so that you're going to see a lot of that playing out on a lower level, especially if you look astrologically with Pluto and Aquarius, because Aquarius having to do with individual people. And individuals within companies, where if we're looking astrologically, Pluto and Capricorn dealt a lot with systems. We'll still be dealing with systems, but it's going to be affecting more the people that create the system, the people that are part of the system or the corporation, and looking at it from that, you know, standpoint of what is most life-enhancing, what's best to do. But that entitlement, that deservability, and it is one of the, I would say, clearing or attuning principle, that in what we call the original separation, that on earth, when you incarnate on earth, we descend into matter, right? We're on the ascension now. So the descending into matter means that it's, we're told we're separate from source energies, but we're not. That's where the kind of the lie is and a lot of the manipulation. We extend out or stretch out into our own individual selves, you know, as soul beings, soul incarnating, you know, into the vessel, the vehicle, the instrument of the body-mind. But that, in a lot of the work that I do, the transpersonal work, is one of the big, big original healing points, is to reconnect and understand that we're never separate from Source. We never were, or God, or the all that is. We're not, we don't have this original sin. And sin in Latin actually means without, right? It actually means sin, it means without something. And the next thing under that is your, it's called your right to be in spiritualism. It's regaining or reclaiming your right to be. And that could be, that can happen in a lot of different ways. Your right to take up space, your right to have an opinion, your right to self-express, your right to create, your right to have your own opinion. And you're going to see, I don't know how many of you, you can put it in the chat or call in, but you're going to see that playing out. You already do see that with the rights of individuals or certain individuals or groups or companies or governments or institutions trying to take the rights away or trying to say you don't have that right, you only have this right. And again, there has to be some order as a collective, you know, otherwise there's ensuing chaos, but we need some chaos. If we have too much order, it's constriction, it cuts off the energetic flow, right? It cuts off the creative flow. It cuts off the flow to source. And as we get into undifferentiated source energies, we have less order. There's more and more, and that's where the chaos theory or chaos magic comes in. And the idea with the chaos magic is to understand that it is creative energy. And how do you harness that? How do you start tapping in and playing into different realities? Kind of like if you ever saw that movie Sliding, I think it was called Sliding Doors, where each time they went through this door, it played out a different result. And to some degree, and I guess that's also string theory, to some degree we are doing that. But now is the time to consciously do this, to try different things on and take a chance on yourself. That's the biggest thing I was getting before, you know, getting on air, is that this chaos energy in my meditation was that formative energy. But we're not taught this. We're not taught, we're taught to fear chaos. We're taught to fear uncertainty because the ego part of us, the human part, the ego, and especially if there's a lot of wounding, only wants stability and security. It only wants to reinforce what it did before and what it knew before. That's the kind of protection mechanism. It's got a lot of maintainer, stabilizer energy, which is great. You need to maintain, once you create something or build something, you need to shore it up. You need to have a good foundation, shore that up, you know, have something that's stable. But too much stability without a little bit of flexibility and a little bit of wiggle room, it does, again, it cuts off animating life flow energy, spiritual energy, our spirit. It deadens us. So right now there's this feeling this out with how, you know, how much randomness do I have in my life, or do I allow, you know, which is also very, it's the divine feminine. It's the feminine principle. It's the yin energy. When we start putting things into form, that's the masculine. We start directing things with the yang, you know, energy. That's kind of simplified, but you guys get what I'm saying. So part of what I'm seeing is that people need to start embracing that and perhaps even talking with each other or podcasts like this and saying, how are you dealing with this? Or what are you doing? What are you trying new? It could even be a new food, a new diet, because what's going to happen is if you're willing to try something new or even take a chance on yourself or an idea, you're going to allow a part of you that is much more soul-aligned and even heart-attuned aspect of you to come out, to now lead your inner psyche. Everyone right now, there is a predominant part of the soul that wants to come through our inner psyche, with psyche meaning soul in Latin. So it is birthing not only a new paradigm, a new, in a way, civilization or way of being, these new structures, us as beings, as a species. There's something changing within us that we all need to more connect with and go towards that. Some of my clients have been saying, oh my God, I feel bolder. I feel more confident. I feel like I want to do more, or I want to express more, or I want to try something new, or I want to try something a different way, or I want to live a different way. So these things can sometimes be, it can kind of throw people off. It can be a little scary. Like, why am I shaking things up? You know, I had a client the other day that was talking about that and said, I don't want to get rid of my existing business and start all over. And I said, well, you don't have to. You can have more than one business or source of income or revenue stream. You can make it work. It doesn't have to, and it doesn't have to be one thing is failing. You know, for some of you, you may want to go in a new direction. You may say, I'm winding out of that, or I'm leaving that, and I'm creating something new. You know, I'm taking that energy and that focus, that time, and creating something new. Most people are going to have, whether you want to call it revenue streams, sources of income, projects, perhaps different aspects or parts to one's career, maybe even managing two careers. I have some clients that do some work, and then they recently got their real estate license, so they're doing that. So let yourself kind of explore right now. That's what I could say, and write it down, journal. What are you drawn to? I'm going to try this. I'm going to visit here. You can research things online, you know, the internet, YouTube, movies, films, documentary. There's so many different ways. But the main thing is right now the call is for this more soul expression, which is also self-expression, and to begin to refine. Some of you, this is also going to come into foods. That's one of the things people, and that's one of the kind of signs and symptoms of this next level of awakening. Certain foods, certain drinks or beverages, certain places people are either really drawn to or can't be around anymore. A lot of people are eating a lot lighter, you know, or less food, or less of a certain type of food and more of another food. So really pay attention also to your body. How is your body feeling? What is it really needing? Is it more downtime? You know, is it more on your own time? Do you need to stretch out more? Do you need to connect more with people, whether in person, you know, IRL, or, you know, online? Do you need to spend more time in nature? Because part of it being this your right to be and being more connected to your inner authority and having this sovereignty is to manage your energy. As energetic beings, we're meant that reflecting consciousness, and as we have more, you know, more conscious, more awake, we have more awareness as to what we really need. And trying things out. I think that's the thing, and I think, I can't think of the quote, but it's something like, be open and spontaneous like a child, but wise like a sage, right? Or wise like an adult. So to retain that, because that part of you, that inner child, when we've done enough healing work, and, you know, we're always healing, of course, but when we've done enough, we connect into the wonder child, where we're okay with what we've gone through, or we know what our glitches are, or our areas of, you know, oversensitivity or challenges or whatever you want to call it, or triggering, whether it's positive or negative triggering. We know ourselves more, and we allow, you know, we take care of ourselves. And then this part of us, this wonder and awe, childlike wonder, keeps coming up. But yet we can have the wisdom and the insight, you know, coupled. So really take a look and see, okay, where have I kind of lost this wonder and awe, and how can I tap back into it? For some of you, it might be revisiting something you did as a child or when you were younger, or something you wanted to know more about or learn more about. I just thought of puzzles, even putting puzzles together. But find a way to tap into that part, because that part, that's also where your body wisdom is and your intuition. They're all kind of a wonderful conglomerate or complex of energies, vibrational frequency, energies, beliefs and ideas and feelings and thoughts. And the more that you can tap into that consciously, the better you're going to do in this new emerging creative collective economy, the better that you're going to do in the new paradigm and what's being created and co-created. And the more you will feel that you're connected to the all that is, which is true, the interconnectedness, the more that you tap into that magic, that mystery, that wonder. And that's where we're going. So life doesn't have to get dry or so dry or less dry, or you understand the cycles that you're going through. And you can be that, you know, doctor, nurse, healer, nursemaid, doula, midwife to your very own self. Because that's one of the things, part of the soul alignment that's also being, you know, reclaimed and to some degree renamed, is the birthing of our own self, that not everything is for other people. It's not all about service to the other or martyrdom or sacrificing. It's making sacred our life and expressing God or spirit, the all that is, through us, recognizing that we have a service to our own life, our own self. And so part of that is finding what is that and how do we want to express that? You know, how do we want to express who and what we are as a spiritual being? That's a very important question to ask at this point. So if people can start asking that of yourself, then you begin to tap into the soul. And that's a lot what this is about, is how do we tap into that soul or solar energy? How do we connect into that? I mean, it's pretty amazing that we have this. Faith, what are you saying? You keep hearing that too. What does that mean? You keep hearing what? Did I not see it? I got to scroll for the chat. Is that a question for me? I can't see. I keep hearing that too. I'm curious what you meant. Okay, what does that mean? Keep hearing what? Okay. Yeah, a lot of people have been getting these messages, you know, or I want to move more forward, or I want to create more. I feel I have more confidence. Now, mind you, it's not just happening, you know, people are applying themselves and doing their, you know, inner work. But they are noticing changes, that they don't want to go back to what was or what is perceived as completed or what is humdrum, you know, that people want to have much more fulfillment. And that's part of the soul call or connecting to your soul calling, which may or may not be a particular activity. It could just be an approach to life, or it could be, you know, how you live, what you focus on, Or it could be a change. This is another thing to be aware of. It can be a change to how you do exactly what you're doing now in your life, whether it's where you live, how you live, your job or career or relationship. That all may stay the same, but the way you approach it is what's changing. The way you do what you do to make it more authentically you, because that's what our soul purpose really is, or our soul calling. It's how we do what we do. How do we make it our own? How do we make it much more fulfilling and joyful? Oh, faith put right, move differently. Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah, even moving differently. I sometimes do that when I'm taking my walks, and some of you that connect with me on Instagram, I'm always putting in my stories different hikes and walks and different nature places that I go to. And sometimes just even going a different way, a different route, or driving somewhere a different way, or sometimes I'll even move, like Faith is saying in the chat, move differently. Like literally how I move my body, I will notice, oh, I'm not using certain muscles. I overcompensate with other muscles. Oh, let me change that up. Now, some of you might think, oh, what does that have to do with anything, or what, that doesn't seem like a big deal. Yeah, it does. It's awareness. And it also ignites our body-mind awareness with much more consciousness, right? Because energy is, that's an aspect of consciousness. And so we're putting our attention there to create more wholeness by understanding what we're going through or moving differently in life. What are our movements? How do we envision life? What are our perceptions? So if you start asking yourself these questions and you start making small adjustments, it doesn't have to be big, you know, driving a different way, or if you take a Lyft or Uber or cab or something, or Subway, go a different way, or vary it. Get a tea or coffee before or after, you know, or walk a block, you know, get off a little earlier and walk, or a little later and walk back. Do you see what I'm saying? This means that you're working with the chaos magic. You're working with the uncertainty right now that is in the world, and then into some degree in a lot of people's lives right now, or a lot of people are waiting for things to happen or manifest. Things are not yet totally in form. They're in flux. But out of this flux comes the form. Out of the formlessness, there will be form. It's kind of like going shopping, you know, going to the market. Let's go to the farmer's market. You're going to make something. You're going to make a dinner. You're going to have friends over for family. And maybe you buy flowers and you buy, you know, whatever you buy. When you get home, it's a mess, right? You got to put the flowers in a vase. You know, you got to, whatever it is, you got to do. You know, you brought things in. You got to take it out of the bags or whatever you had it in. If it's in the car or a cart, you got to take it out of that. And then you still have to prepare the food. You have to put it together. It's not yet in form. So I really want to suggest that a lot of you, that there's nothing wrong. You're not delayed. It's like there is a lot right now that isn't in form, but that's actually a good thing to some degree, and actually a larger degree, because now you have more potential. There's much more opportunity right now and much more potential. And so when there's things are up in the air, there's a lot of flux, there's a lot of opportunity, there's a lot of openings. You know, I know a lot of people are looking, which way do I go? What do I do? You know, where should I put my money, my time, my energy, my focus? Well, more with what you enjoy doing and branching out, expanding out, not being afraid to expand out or take more on. Which brings me to a point, you guys. This is another thing that's come up in some of the workshops and stuff that I've been doing and on Patreon, is people getting overwhelmed. And that is like a natural process when you start manifesting, when you start creating, because you don't know what seeds are going to pop up or sprout. Some do, some don't, some do later. And I always use the analogy of a garden, or especially like an English garden that is overgrown, or a garden, like, you can't, you have to let the garden get bushy before you prune it, or the rose bushes, you know, they have to get a little, you know, bushy. You can't, as soon as they start, you know, sprouting or flowering, you don't go right in there and start shearing or cutting. But again, what bothers people about that is it's less manageable. It's like, oh God, I'm overwhelmed. I've got too much on. What do I do first? It's confusing me. Again, that's the chaos magic. What you do is you pull back. You have your big picture, but then you pull back to what's in the immediate future that you can do. What's in the present moment that you can do? The immediate future, because even right now is the future from what I was sharing 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, right? So find ways that you can work with this energy. I'd love to hear about it, whether it's here on the podcast or leave me comments on Instagram or, you know, Soul Insights and Tarot on YouTube, those of you that are part of Patreon. Because if we all are doing this more consciously as a collective, it's going to be kind of fun. You're going to get more into that creator mode. Like we had Dr. Bruce Lipton on years ago here on the podcast, and he would always, I think it was biology of belief, but the imaginal cells he was talking about within our body. And we know this. I mean, it's basic biology that we have these imaginal cells that have the new imprinting, the new gift, the new skill, the you know, the next level, the ability to from going from crawling to walking. However, how he put it, which I love, we are the imaginal cells of the world, of the universe, of the earth, as creator beings. Again, this is the whole thing of connecting with the soul alignment. The soul understands, that part of you understands that you are here to create and do. That's why I never liked people saying, you were human beings, not human doings. No, we came here to do. We're always going to be. You know, our being is the center of our awareness and consciousness, is reflecting consciousness. But we are here to do. We're here to do what inspires us, what uplifts us, what we're meant to do, whatever that is, however you want to term it. A lot of people do it in different ways. And we're here to do things with each other, which is the other thing that's coming in this new paradigm, is connecting more with each other and supporting each other as we individuate, as we branch out as those shining stars that we are in our own life. But it's both. How do we do that and also celebrate and support each other? I'm going to give that number again for call in, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on your keypad if you have a question or a comment. I see people in the queue. Just want to make sure people didn't have a question, a comment, or want a reading. If you do, press 1 on your keypad if you wanted a reading or to say hi or thought or question or okay, so people could be just listening by phone, and that's cool too. So how to have a – bring this, I would say, your wondering or any confusion or doubt and see it as creative energy. See, okay, this is just creative energy. I'm in the middle of something. In transitional counseling, we call it the gray zone because it's not black, it's not white. You can't go back, but yet the new – you is not totally formed yet, or the new situation. We are in that gray zone. It's also called the no zone, because it's not left, it's not right, it's not back, it's not the past, it's not the future, it's not back, it's not forward. It is this gray zone. It's like in the middle of the bridge. But there's things to do in the middle of the bridge, or when you're bridging, and when we're bridging individually, and we're bridging as a collective, or communities and groups of us. Take in the scenery. You can take stock of yourself. You know, you can learn something new. You can. Main thing is that the guides were saying is people need to take more chances right now. And I don't mean wild abandonment, like, oh, I'm just going to drop everything and move, or I'm going to. But day to day, to not get and stay in these stuck states where it's conditioned response patterns, responding the same way reinforcing non-life enhancing patterning, or staying locked in a conventional point of view or point of view that you had before. You're not willing to entertain, I could be wrong or I could be right. Or it's very freeing to say, oh, I was wrong. Or the other day, I went with a friend of mine. We went to this great crystal store. I think it was called Rock Paradise. And it's quite inland from where I live. But it was a nice little adventure, and I had all kinds of crystals. I got a bunch of crystals to use in the readings I do on YouTube. And my friend had said, oh, you should get this palm stone. And I have so many palm stones, I only wanted to get like three that I was drawn to that were brighter colored. And this one was, I think it's called Hema Guide or something like that. I have to look it up. Hema Guide crystal. And I thought, no, I don't need that. And then when I got to the cash register and the woman had the stones laid out, I had various, you know, bunches of stones, like different, like a nice collection. And it hit me. I thought, I think I should get that light pink one that she was saying. And so I told the lady, and my friend was close by, and I said, oh, I should have listened to my friend because she's right. I should get that other one, the light pink. And it's got some like little brown gradations in there too. It's not like a rose quartz. It's a different color. And I thought they'd go really, you know, nicely. And then the woman's like, yeah, they're all 50% off. So freeing to be able to say, oh, I should have listened to you, or you were right, or you saw that. It just lets our guard down that we don't always have to have all the answers and be, you know, it's like, I mean, did I need that palm stone? Not really, but it did look nice with the collection that, and now if you watch my videos, you'll see which stone I was talking about. I think it's called Hema Guide. If someone knows, put it in the chat. I think it's called Hema Guide quartz crystal. But let yourself even be wrong or misinformed. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be always with other people. It could be, well, I didn't want to do that, or I thought I was going to do that, or I thought that was the way to go, but it wasn't. It's going to be very freeing. Oh, Hematoid. There we go. Okay, I looked it up. This crystal will help increase your motivation, improve your outlook towards life. That's what I'm talking about, guys. And open, what did it say? Dissolve imbalances and negativities in your life. It inspires creativity, all that we're talking about. Find helpful but simple, effective ways to solve your problems. Enhances willpower. It's an ideal stone for those who deal with complex subjects and technical matters on a regular basis. Boy, is that the stone for me. And by the way, it's November birthstone. Wow, okay. Also helps you communicate with spirits, cleansing and balancing chakras, and it encourages spiritual development and helps you attune to your divine purpose in life. Okay, well, I'm glad. Hematoid. Okay, I have to remember that. Hematoid, not Hema Guide. But anyway, yeah, it has hematite inclusions. Oh, it's a derivative of hematite, which I love. Hematite. I have a magnetic hematite. It has black or red-brown stars or clouds within the quartz. It's sometimes called speculite quartz. All right, there we have it. It helps you open your eyes to new possibilities. So let's do something, especially those of you that are regular listeners, or, you know, again, we connect on whether Instagram, YouTube, or I know a lot of you that connect on Patreon, listen to the podcast, is really just try it, even for a month. I'm doing this whole name and claim it, naming and claiming it, and really looking at what you are drawn to, you know, innately or naturally drawn to, or drawn to by your joy or curiosity, subconsciously. Like, what are you drawn to? Whether it's, you know, the color of something, a car, a stone, a hairstyle, you know, ponytail scrunchie, coffee mug, to pay attention to what bubbles up inside you. In other words, not what you always have to think through, or this is the one that's right for me, you know, or somebody suggests something. It's not to say don't do that, but try integrating more of what is coming from you, your own, what I say, inner compass. Maybe even your own inner GPS if you know the location. Maybe it's taking a different route somewhere. And that route, I don't mean just driving or walking. I mean your very own life. There could be a different approach, a different path to what you do, or a different outlook that can help you. Check your outlook right now. What is your, do you have old perceptions or an old perspective that could be limiting you? See, the whole idea is to move beyond limitation, because eventually, and those of you that are astrologers, you know that's the realm of Saturn, is the limitation. Right now, Uranus and Jupiter is about expansion, right? But we do need boundaries. We need boundaries. We need a foundation. Too much of that, like I said, chokes things off. So if you look at your life right now, ask yourself, where is the energy choking off? Where are things too constricted? Where are things too rigid, or where am I being too rigid? Where can I open up a little bit more? Where can there be wiggle room? Now, some of you, it might be the opposite. You might go, oh, my God, I have no routine, no schedule. I'm all over the place. I don't know what I want to do. Then find what bit of structure can you put in to start building or creating a firm foundation? Because it's more and more up to us how we do this, less and less of outer authorities saying how we do this. Because so much in the future is going to be changing with work and how people work. Beyond automation, I mean, that's just one thing. But certain jobs, certain positions, either one person doing multiple positions, I've been seeing that a lot, or something is no longer needed, no longer relevant. But that means something else becomes more relevant or relevant. That becomes the new way of doing it, or the new position. The other thing is, when you move into this way of looking at things, you're coming into more of an empowered position, because now, instead of being the effect of the changes that are happening within the world, within your life, within yourself, you move into the causal point. In other words, how can I align with the energy of what's happening and be a part of it, be in the unfolding of it, be in the game of it? How can I move into that space, that this is something that my soul chose? And even the challenges, I hate to say it, the soul likes challenges. The soul, that's part of the earth game. Persistence, perseverance, effort, focus, creating structure, support. I mean, that, before you incarnate here, and those of you that are other planetarily inclined, before you come here, it's like yippee, get to do this. It's like going through like CrossFit or one of those obstacle courses or challenges, physical. People love doing that. Oh, they train. Oh, I'm going to jump over this, and I'm going to crawl through this, and I'm going to swing over there, and then I'm going to lift myself up with, you know, the arm lift and get over this, and then climb over the hill and run up the mountain. That's kind of what we do on the earth plane. And contrary to belief, it's not all about just learning. It's about creating. It's about expression of the divine or God through you, as you, in these different forms. And so the more you can understand that and align to that energy, the more you're going to create and co-create more of what you want, value, and what's much more abundant and prosperous for you at this time. There's a lot of opportunity. No matter what your circumstances, there is an opening of opportunity. However small, it might be a crack opening, it might be a small window, it might be a huge window, it might be a bay window, it might be a door, it may be a garage door. it may be a big opening. It could be a small opening that gets bigger. So right now, the challenge the soul wants as it's coming through more is to shift the perspective in life to look more in that way, in that approach, and start finding those openings. And then you can make the openings bigger, because that's where the void is. That's where the potential, the opportunity is in the opening. That's where the chakra is. That's where the ley lines are. That's where the charged energy is. They're there. We just have to align to them and make them more relatable to us, more relevant or bigger, right? Because in one way, do we create the opportunity or do we open up to the opportunity, right? It's a different way of looking at things. The opportunities very often are already there. We're opening up to the opportunities. We're recognizing the opportunities. We're stepping through the opportunities. So the more that people realize that, that's when you're moving in what we call metaphysically the causal point. We're becoming more cause and not as effect of things. And when you're cause, you're moving into conscious creation. And that's a bigger game. You know, I was reading something up on games theory, and it goes into that. And again, I'm not saying that we're always operating at this, because times get tough. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. Get frustrated, we get down, we can get depressed, we have all these other things, but that we go through, that's part of this human conditioning and condition, not just the conditioning. But if we know, in a sense, this too shall pass, I'm going through this right now, this is not me, this does not determine my consciousness, you are not your illness, you are not your condition, you are not whatever's happening to you. That's something you're experiencing. It's an experience. It's like driving through fog or heavy mist or heavy fog rolls in. That's not your fault, right? Now, if you keep repeating, if you're making conscious choices based on less to non-life enhancing relating patterns, yes, you can. That's your creation. You're creating that. However, make no mistake, the challenges or even tragedies are part of this game on Earth. But you can mitigate them. You can make them not as intense or quote-unquote bad, I guess you could say, by seeing what the opening is there. Because we do have a, not just a soul lineage, but we do have a blueprint. We have a path. There is certain things that are part of our destiny. But we can, part of our destiny, more life-enhancing to us or more fulfilling. So right now we do have a lot more healthy control. We do have, I know it sounds odd where there's so much uncertainty and a lot of outer control playing out through groups or governments or, you know, et cetera, laws and things and constriction, but things are not yet totally in stone, right? So we do have more wiggle room, or you can find where the wiggle room is. Where the wiggle room is where the creative energy is. That's the juice, the soul juice, as I call it. That's the creative juice is there. It's like an artist taking all, you know, having all these supplies in their artist's studio, and then picking and choosing which ones they want to use. Now, let's say you want red paint and you don't have red paint. Well, maybe, you know, you either create it or you decide not to use red paint. You could have a different idea. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of times we have an idea, we're stuck on something. It has to be this way. This is what it is. But maybe it's not. Maybe it can be better. It can get better. Things can be better. If we look around and we don't have something, then there's another avenue. There's something else coming in. And a lot of times, I mean, I'm sure if you guys look back over your life, a lot of times whatever is coming in ultimately ends up being better or ends up being more life-enhancing or ends up being the step or the vehicle that gets us where we want to go. like Faith said in the chat, movement. It's what gets us moving again, or moving in the way we want to. Sometimes the glitches in our life create the movement that we need, that we wouldn't otherwise be able to connect with energetically, to get us going, to get us moving. So I had to have an inspection the other day at my house, and they came later, but it was good because it got me going in a different direction than what I was doing. It got me able to, I worked on some videos for YouTube, and it got me out. I got out earlier because of the appointment, because I didn't know that they had moved it. So it got me out earlier and doing things earlier because I thought the appointment was going to be earlier. you know how that is. You're waiting for a package or waiting for something. So I'd love to hear from you all at some point, whichever way we connect, of if this is something that's resonating and how that you can connect to this in your own way, in your own life, and integrate some of this. And just remember that out of this chaos and confusion comes creativity and new order, that there's actually a lot more options than one might think, right? Than what might be apparent if you're only using the lower mind or the beta consciousness. You're only using logic and reason. You could only see where you've been before, not what you're going or what you, the potential and the possibility for what you create or creating. All right, lovies. Okay, it's time for our second half of the program. We have an awakening dialogue today. I'm very excited. Peter Canova is coming on. I did say his book at the beginning of the program, but I want to share it again because some of you, we have new people that came in. Quantum Spirituality, Science, Gnostic Mysticism, and Connecting with Source Consciousness. You can go to Peter Nova or Canova.com, Peter Canova, Canova.com, if you want to take a peek. Also, information is in the description box. Hello, Peter. Welcome.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Doing well? Yeah? Good, good, good.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Ready to go and doing well.
Good. I love that. So let's dive in a little bit. Give a little bit of the background for those who don't know of you. I'm sure some do. And then I want to dive in to your most recent book.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm actually a businessman, but I embarked on this course of writing books and exploring consciousness, spiritual traditions, quantum physics, and things like that starting in my 20s because I went through a series of pretty vivid experiences. I found out that I was a very accurate medical intuitive, and then shortly after that, the whole floodgate opened up with clairvoyance, clairaudience, premonitions, remote viewing, and so forth. And I guess being a Capricorn, you know, I wasn't just able to just have the experience. I wanted to understand the nuts and bolts behind it. So that's when I started kind of a formal study of spirituality and spiritual traditions. And eventually it led me to quantum physics because the nexus there is that both quantum physics and spiritual wisdom, ancient spiritual wisdom, deal with three things primarily, and that is light, matter, and energy. So that's how I kind of got to where I am.
Okay. So when you were, let's say, much younger, let's say, quote, unquote, growing up, although I guess we're always growing, did you have any experiences or inkling, or did this come on like a rapid onset?
Rapid onset, yeah. It was rapid.
Oh,
actually,
it
happened over the course of about 1 week. triggered this whole thing. And, you know, I had some visions and experiences out of this whole thing. After I put aside the disbelief of you know, doing all these medical cases, that I was able to do these just by somebody giving me a name, age, and address of somebody. When my rational mind took a backseat to my intuitive mind, it opened up a whole channel of things, and I just had such vivid experiences that it kind of altered the course of my life, and I, you know, started diverging my path from just, you know, one of purely being in business to being in business and doing what I'm doing, to the point where I had my brother really kind of take over the day-to-day operations of our business so that I could devote more time to doing this. So, yeah, it was a life-altering experience, and it came on pretty quickly.
Now, do you know if there was a trigger for that, an opening, or did you just one day wake up and you have these experiences?
Well, actually, what I was always kind of curious about the deeper mm-hmm. questions of life, you know, what it was all about. I mean, I felt really very alienated, like, you know, just really wonder, what are we doing here? Something seems really wrong with this whole setup. So I always mm-hmm. had that kicking at me, even when I was very young. And I saw an advertisement in the paper about a course in, you know, they used to call it ESP, extrasensory perception. You can call it psychic uh-huh. training today, whatever. And that's where I found out that I was a medical intuitive, and that kind of started the whole thing off. But prior to that, no, I didn't really have any inkling of what would happen, other than just this kind of feeling of unease and wanting to know, you know, there's got to be more to life than what we're experiencing. Something, there's got to be some deeper level of reality than this.
Yeah, you got the divine discontent. And funny, most people just do like start with yoga or meditation. You jumped right into the ESP course. I like that.
Yeah, I think there's many ways that you get there. I have what I would call a Gnostic revelation, okay, very sudden revelation. Mm-hmm. With some people, they just have to hit rock bottom in life, and they're so desperate there's no other place to go. And then they start seeking, and then from that point they move upward. Other people can do it through a study of scripture. You know, there's many different ways to mm-hmm. get to a point where you're experiencing higher consciousness. There's no one path to it. But fortunately, I consider myself fortunate not to have hit rock bottom and taken a little bit easier course to get there.
Yeah. You didn't have to be pushed or shunned. It was a nice nudge. You followed the nudge.
And I was actually very frequently nudged. Incidentally, there were you know, markers all along the way that appeared in my life, pushing me forward, you know, these incredible synchronicities, people appearing out of nowhere. I mean, it was pretty mystical in a way, the way it happened. So I was getting nudges all along the way. But like I say, it didn't start from a point of desperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting when we look back, we do see the threading, the thread that the golden thread, you know, we see the breadcrumbs, however you want to put it. There are those signs and guideposts. But you did respond on a nudge, so that's great. That can make it a little more fun, perhaps. Let's talk a bit. I'm very curious because it does seem that this intersection of science and spirituality, and it could also, I mean, Aquarian age does have to do, Aquarius ruling both those aspects of that intersection. But there does seem to be more focus now on looking at the similarities instead of the differences of science and spirituality and what the intersection, you know, actually is. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said at the beginning, the intersection or the nexus between the two of them is really that they're both pushing towards an understanding of light, energy, mm-hmm. and matter, which are the mm-hmm. substances that comprise the known universe, and both seeing of things, both seen and unseen. So it's not surprising that ultimately they're pushing towards the same direction. But I say ultimately because there's a lot of bumps along the way. I mean, you know, we mm-hmm. had Orthodox religion that was suppressing spiritual wisdom. The Orthodox Catholic Church suppress the Gnostics, to much to our great detriment. But in the same token, we had Orthodox science suppressing a lot of inquiry into the question of whether or not there was intelligence behind creation, because Orthodox science tells us that we are a great accident. Life is a great accident. We were like a series of random particles that, you know, mashed together and eventually, you know, built up more complex forms and so forth and so on. But that's all rubbish. I mean, it makes no sense even by their own metrics. For one thing, they could never explain how inorganic matter all of a sudden became organic. And the whole idea of trying to bring consciousness down to the point of a combination of particles that somehow combined in a way where people could have experiences outside of the physical and explain those abstractions, it just can't be explained by Orthodox science. But Orthodox science has really ruled the roost in scientific circles right up until this very day. But scientists are now realizing that they have to come to grips with what they call the hard problem. And the hard problem in scientific lingo means the question of consciousness. What is consciousness? So there is a growing, and this is starting really back in the 50s, I would say. Well, I mean, it went even further back than that, because the father of modern quantum physics, Max Planck, basically said that I can assure you of one thing, that what we view as matter does not exist at all. The whole appearance of matter is the result of the actions of an intelligent mind that brings to vibration the energies that coagulate in effect and you know, what we perceive as matter. And this is the father of modern quantum physics, who said this back in the year 1900. But I would say that starting in the 1950s, over the observation of certain phenomena, people really started to question, well, you know, maybe physical reality isn't exactly what we think it is. And it led to different theories like the holographic universe theory, the fact that we live in a simulated reality. And now there is a movement called panpsychism, which essentially says that everything is consciousness, and even a rock is consciousness. It's just consciousness at a different level of vibration, at a different level of awareness, let's say, because vibration, frequency, and awareness are all very much tied in, but that everything really is a product of consciousness. So a minority, but a growing minority of scientists are starting to look at creation as a top-down phenomenon, meaning that it started with consciousness that worked its way down into lower forms rather than the great accident, which is a bunch of particles which didn't even exist in the first place, because there are no such things as particles in quantum physics when you get right down to it. All there is waves of energy. But you know, this whole idea of top-down creation from consciousness as opposed to bottom-up accident of particles is gaining more traction in scientific circles. So Orthodox science is a little bit on the run. You know, Orthodox materialistic science, I think, in the next few decades is going to be very hard pressed to explain themselves away.
Yeah, it's interesting with the, and I'm more with the pan psychism, if you would say, that everything is, that's more of a shamanic point of view also. What do you think of, you just brought this up in my mind when you were talking about, because a lot is held with this group or collective agreement of this seemingly solidification, right? These energy moving, you know, the spiritual energy, consciousness, kind of holding things together. What do you think of the idea of, I mean, as we're evolving, that things maybe are less solid? Does that have any relevance, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by things being less solid. I would say
seemingly
this.
Solid.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll give
I think,
an example. One time I had done a lot of channel work, and I just saw everything. I was walking down the street, actually, after the session, and just the shoes, like, were like in the window, Neiman Marcus, were just moving. You know, nothing was solid. The street wasn't solid. I've had that happen a couple of times. So we see things as solid. We sit down, you know, on something that isn't really solid. I'm wondering in the evolution if things will be seemingly less solid or less in a solid experience, in a less solid, seemingly solid form, because I know it's not solid. The slower moving.
Well, I remember I was in a kind of a group meditation thing, and I can't remember who the guru was, but there was a picture of a guru that they had, kind of in the center. And I do remember the picture clearly morphing all the time.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I think what you're really saying is it's kind of like breaking the hold of the matrix, because in actuality, mm-hmm. the world is not solid. I mean,
right.
It is at a certain level of perception, but that's only at that level of mm-hmm. perception. The reality is, even from a quantum physical standpoint, that our so-called solid world is made up that are floating in large amounts of space and in constant movement. And yet, why do we have this appearance of, solidity? At the very basis mm-hmm. of reality, there is no such thing as particles. Particles don't even exist. What exists is waves of potential, energetic waves of potential. And the particles, what appears or what collapses as particles, the quantum wave collapse, as they call it, into particle formation, occurs under certain circumstances. But it's kind of like this. Okay, so I live part of the year in Florida, and we have a phenomenon out here called waterspouts. And you can be looking at a calm body of water, like on a river, and then all of a sudden this little mini tornado, and that's exactly what it is. It's a twister. It's a definable look. It looks just like a little mini tornado, and it spouts right up out of the water. And the whole appearance of physicality is kind of like that, because we have a smooth quantum wave, but every so often these blemishes appear that arise mm-hmm. out of the quantum wave that form like these little cul-de-sacs that collapse into locality and give the appearance of a three-dimensional world of particles and solidity. So when you're looking at these waterspouts, the river is perfectly smooth, but you see the disturbance of the waterspout there. Now, the waterspout looks like it's a separate entity, but it's really not. It's really part of the river that it spouted from. And that's kind of the way that particle physics work. There really is a quantum energy wave, and the appearance of our physical world is like this blemish or like a water spout arising out of it. And of course, it's a temporary phenomenon. I mean, the physical world is not a permanent construct. But we and our role in that is kind of interesting, because if you assume, like I do and like many others have, that we started from a source consciousness, we are mm-hmm. kind of like the relay stations. It operates like a power grid. So a typical power grid has the source, and then it has the relay stations, which step down the energy so that it dilutes or limits the energy so that it can be useful in our homes and, commercial buildings and so forth and so on. We are kind of like those relay stations. We're connected to that stream of consciousness, but in a diluted, limited form. And yet, though we are part of that creation, that the collective conscious creation that holds this world in a perception of being solid and three-dimensional. Now, I know it sounds very trippy, but the quantum world is counterintuitive. But everything mm-hmm. I just told you was told to us by the Gnostic mystics 2,000 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where mysticism and science really overlap in an astonishing way, because science is only proving out now with scientific terms what the mystics told us in more intuitive and mythical terms 2,000 and 3,000 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, and I know it's not the particle, what we're holding, like what is holding it in place in form enough for us to interact with that consciousness made manifest, or the formless within the form, the chair.
Information. The one word answer to your question is information. So
okay.
Information. Okay. The source consciousness operates through the projection of intelligent light energy, and intelligence obviously implies organization, and the organization is where the information comes in. So there is the scientific, the world is now considering information as a prime source of what constitutes reality. Everything is composed of information. So the best way to think of it is we have DNA in our bodies, and the DNA gives instructions that creates the various forms that we experience as physical bodies. Information on a cosmic scale that's contained in light energy is kind of like the cosmic DNA that gives form and shape to the phenomenal world.
So, Peter, would you say it's forming and shaping as need be, almost like that observer effect? Is it because it is in that constant motion?
It's really kind of a fluid situation because the source consciousness is basically the energy that runs throughout all creation, but that source consciousness gets modified by the little power that we call the little power relays, which are us and our consciousness. So at higher levels of consciousness, it's more pure. It's more purely the idealizations or the mind projections of this force or this source energy. When you get into the lower realms of existence, you start to have our effect start to come in there. And we're basically not human beings seeking a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human experience. And what that means is that we have projected ourselves from a higher level of consciousness into the consciousness of materiality. So it really is kind of a smoke and mirrors game. We're kind of living in a simulated reality. And it's like, if you remember the old Star Trek series, it was either Star Trek Voyager or Star Trek Next Generation, where they had a holodeck and the crew used to go down there for recreation and they could dream up any scenario they wanted. And it was so vivid and the characters were so vivid that they could actually project themselves into that simulation and interact with the characters. Mm-hmm. Well, essentially that's what we did, but we forgot we're the programmers. We bought into our own program. And, so we really kind of projected this lower reality from, our higher vantage point. And when we pass on from this life, I believe we kind of, return more to that higher vantage point from which we originated. And we kind of realized that, what we were doing down there was kind of like a giant cosmic, game in a way. Spirit clearly desired to have experience outside of something that it otherwise wouldn't experience, which is energy in a physical form, in a form of solidity or a physical form.
So I'm wondering if we will get more as a collective into that understanding, into that perception, if you're seeing that.
Well, it already is a collective.
The next level of the past.
It already is a collective. By natural process, it already is a collective. The only question.
But living with conscious awareness of that, do you think that that's going to be more of a perception or a perspective or understanding or that having that of more people living this way and eventually even within the structure of Earth?
Well, that's what I was saying. It is a process, but right now it's largely an unconscious process. To the extent that people become more aware of the mechanics and the operation of creation and reality and so forth, then I think things change. I mean, the Gnostics always felt that there was a tipping point in humanity where, when enough people become aware, things really start to change and things really start to evolve. And I do believe at some point, probably in the far distant future, that we're heading towards that more of a collective awakening of consciousness, I guess I would call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Because it does seem, especially with the idea, I mean, just even putting the word science and also the word spirituality together, or looking in that, I feel is creating some kind of inroad, even what I would say within the last 5 or 6 years, not to say that there hasn't been books. I even noticed it on guests that we've had, physicists that have come on, archaeologists, and they're starting, even more traditional, conventional ones are awakening to this idea. So it sounds like you're saying that is. Yeah, go ahead.
The power of the book Quantum Spirituality that people are finding out is that it's basically a roadmap to having conscious awakening, extraordinary experiences with higher consciousness. And like any roadmap, you have to have at least two coordinates, north and south, east and west, or up and down, latitude and longitude, as opposed to just one point, a single point. So the power of quantum spirituality is that it's a multidimensional approach to consciousness. So it involves science. It involves depth psychology, particularly related to Carl Jung. It involves ancient Gnostic spirituality and other ancient spiritual traditions, neurophysiology, biology, and so forth. I approach it from all these points of view, and they all lead toward the same intersection from these different points of view, which is actually a pretty powerful tool, because what it does is when people see all these disciplines pointing in the same direction and saying the same things, it's inspirational because they say, aha, there's a pattern here, and there may be a payoff for me at the end of the rainbow, at the end of my meditation, at the end of my life even. You know, there may be something out there that's greater than what I really think. So it's an inspirational tool for people on their spiritual journey to arm them in an arena of knowledge, that to saturate them in an arena of knowledge that they can then use in their own spiritual practice, whatever that may be, but armed with better information and probably, you know, a more inspirational idea of how the world operates. And, you know, the way I liken it is you can live in the basement or you can live in the penthouse. Now, if you live in the basement, you can survive. You know, you have your job, you have your marriage, you have your kids, you have your car, you go to the movies. But that's not really living, in my opinion. Where you move up to the penthouse, you see the whole panorama of life, and you start to understand that there are multiple realities, that there is a multiverse out there, and we maybe just be the bottom rung of the ladder. And when you start to really study this, and more importantly, not just study, but if you use that study to develop an experiential practice where you can experience higher consciousness directly, then you start to see the full panorama of life from the penthouse. And life becomes a matter of not leading you around by the nose, but you leading yourself around to where you want to be. So it gives you a much greater measure of control. And that's what quantum spirituality really is all about. It's about helping people gain these extraordinary experiences with higher consciousness.
And like you said, the roadmap. And I think that's pretty key right now. People need the tool or the map, the how-to. Otherwise, it's not going to be integrated, you know. Can't be unless you can't integrate what you can't navigate or bring some kind of understanding to. You have to have that that roadmap. What are some of the things, like, in the book that you have? Are there exercises or processes, or how does one begin? And maybe you could give an example of one way for someone to begin to integrate some of these concepts more into, like, from theory to a practicum.
Well, the way the book is structured is it provides all the explanations that we've talked about, from quantum physics, from ancient spiritual traditions, from the standpoint of psychology. It connects all the dots to understand the framework of creation and how reality operates. And then it funnels down to talking about meditation or different spiritual practices, and I give some hints in there. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm prescribing a method. I have no method, because I leave that up to everybody. Everybody has their own path, and everybody has their own ways of approaching this. What I do, however, do is that I funnel this down to help people in their practice of meditation, because I do believe that meditation is probably one of the tried and true and best ways to still your mind and let your intuition come forward and start to have the experiences with higher energies. And I give tips in there for how to enhance that meditative experience. And then, of course, all the knowledge that came preceding that is to understand, you know, the principles, the mechanics of reality and how things work. So it really is, it starts off with what you could call theory, and then it mm-hmm. gets into the practical application of the theory. And at the end of the day, I you know, oftentimes when I speak in public, I'll start off and I'll tell the audience, don't believe a damn thing I'm going to tell you. And they sit there scratching their heads and saying, well, what did I pay to come to this for? And, you know, what I explain to them is, look, I'm not telling you not to listen to me. What I'm saying is, please absorb, try and absorb everything I say. But at the end of the day, it's really up to you to be your own mm-hmm. prophet. Well, all I'm trying to do is be a signpost. I'm not the end goal, by no means.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a my work is just the signpost to help guide you along your own spiritual path, and you have to choose how to use that. You have to choose how to apply it. Now, I cite one example, which is meditation, of how these principles can funnel down to be applied in a meditative practice, because a lot of people do meditate. This is probably the primary way that, you know, people do have experiences with higher consciousness, so that's why I use meditation rather than some other means. But that's essentially how the book is structured and how it works. But like I say, at the end of the day, I don't want people to take me or anybody else on faith, because that's just believing a third party, okay? If I tell mm-hmm. you fire burns, you don't really know that until you stick your hand in the fire. Once you stick your hand
yeah.
in the fire,
yeah.
you own it, you know? But before yeah. that, you have to just take it on my say-so. I want you to get beyond my say-so or anybody else's say-so and just give you the opportunity to have the experience directly yourself.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that's the only way to have someone to have that experience of that level of consciousness and become more aware, is that you have to do it. I can only find your own way, but you have to be the one doing it. It's not, otherwise it stays in, you know, in theory. I like what you say about a roadmap and the signpost, because to me it's like driving. You might have different signposts of where to go, what to do, but you're the one in the car, you're the one in the vehicle, and you choose which one is, you know, right for you. So I think that's a really
yeah.
apt, and I think there needs to be more of that right now, where there are, instead of it's this way or this method, but guideposts or signposts or guides or almost tools or funnels that bring the information that people can process, pick and choose, you know, what is best for them, you know. I'm a big proponent.
Yeah, because like you said in your analogy, they're the ones who have to drive the car, not you or me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's their car. Every
yeah.
car has a little, you know, your seat adjusts. You know, they got to adjust it for it's just for them. So how did you, and I like what you said, connecting with source consciousness. We could touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I told you about the experiences that I had and connected with source consciousness, and it wasn't imagination, because all these things I'm talking about may have started off in another dimension, but they proved themselves out in this physical dimension. I mean, to the point where I actually had premonitions that saved my life and the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
I would get, you know, verifications and, you know, the universe was very good to me. Every time I was thinking, you know, am I on the right track? Something would manifest in my life that would tell me, yeah, the universe gave me feedback. So it was, you know, the universe is very good in that way. I do believe in the goodness of the universe. So, you know, connecting with source consciousness really is simply a raising of your own consciousness to the point of understanding where you originated from. Because in a lot of ways, when we talk about connecting with source consciousness, a lot of what we're talking about is connecting with our own higher selves, with our own knowledge, mm-hmm. with that part of us that projected us here. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I do believe that even, you know, you take things like tarot and all these other, you know, mediums for giving people information, I Ching and everything else. I just believe that those are external ways for reflecting back what we're really trying to tell ourselves. So,
absolutely.
You know, this is where this.
Yeah,
yeah this
it
is where the, this is
I
where
would
the.
Say you might like this, Peter. I, as a psychic channel, I would say people, because people, oh, you're so accurate. I said, but no, you are, because you're projecting, you're broadcasting or transmitting what you want to know. Right. I think we put it out there and it comes back. But like you said earlier, which I love, it's really us, our higher self.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, yeah. It's our own way. And dreams too are, that's just another way we talk to ourselves and we get information from,
yeah.
you know, from ourselves. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, people, you can get information for what seem to be other entities, but honestly, you know,
mm-hmm.
you are talking to yourself too. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really an understanding of how to let your rational mind take a backseat to your intuitive nature. And we all have that intuitive nature. We have, Carl Jung called it the anima and the animus, the male and the female and the female and the male. Well, it happens to be the female side that is intuitive. Now, it doesn't mean that women are the only ones that are intuitive. It's not like that, because every man has a woman in them. Every woman has a man in them. These are our
mm-hmm.
principles or vibrational natures, but it is that what we call the feminine principle, the sacred feminine and the feminine principle, that is the intuitive gateway to having, you know, these higher experiences. But, you know, both rationality and intuition are important, because I liken it to a rocket ship. There's two major components to a rocket ship. There's the fuel and there's the guidance system. So the fuel is the intuition. The guidance system is the rationality. If you have the guidance system but not the fuel, you never get off the ground. If you have the fuel but not the guidance system, you get off the ground, but you kind of go around in circles and flounder. So you really need both. There's an aspect of meditation that's directional. I'm not a big believer in passive meditation, you know, just sort of like sitting there and, you know, seeing what comes. Now, that's fine. I'm not knocking it. And I mean, you know, mm-hmm. some people that they can use that for a very good purpose. But I view more of active meditation, which is let my intuition get me to a certain level of mind, but let my sort of rational mind direct me as to where I want to go, as to help establish my intentionality.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually a question I had for you, like a contemplation meditation. Do you ask, like, put an intention or a thought of something that you want to know about or a direction? And then to you from higher mind, higher consciousness, higher self?
Not always, but often.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. No, I love doing that. I think that's great, because I always say might as well bump up there than getting the info from the, you know, lower mind or beta consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you – because I'm wondering if that is – you know, like per your book, is that a good way for people to start connecting into this energy and frequency?
Okay.
Rather than just waiting, just tuning in, meditating and waiting to see what comes in, more of that active meditation or more of that engagement. I'm wondering if that is a easier, more efficient way for people to begin to connect with that source consciousness, like seeing that they're that there's more engagement.
I think it is. I think it is, especially for Western minds, that I think the Western mind is a little bit more active and the Eastern mind is a little bit more, you know, into the passive, like the, you know, traditional Hindu or yogic meditations can, you know, be a little bit more on the passive side. But it's kind of like people who do dream therapy will tell you, before you go to sleep at night, set your intention of something you want to answer or what you want to experience. And, you know, that
mm-hmm.
helps the dream address your particular issue. So I think the same thing applies in meditation. Now, I don't say to everybody, do this all the time. You know, there's times that I just want to relax and I go in, I don't think of anything, okay? I mean, I am passive, so
mm-hmm.
it's a mixture. But if you want to have a question answered or you want to, you know, you really have something that you want to press yourself towards, you know, I think setting your intention before a meditation is good. Oftentimes, one technique that's really very interesting that I say to people, look, is if you have a problem, go into your meditation, and instead of just sitting there, once you get to the point where you sort of feel like you're there, where you feel like, you know, you're, and I have different ways of how I feel I'm there, but when you kind of feel you're at the right state, have a conversation with somebody who you really respect. Okay, now that may be Albert Einstein. It may be, I don't know, whoever it is, whoever you know, or a guru or whatever, and visualize yourself sitting in a chair across from them and having a conversation with them and ask them the question and see what they say. Then just be quiet and see what they have to say. And, you know, establish this sort of, you know, mental dialogue with this person that you trust or you think could give you a good answer and, you know, see what responses you get. And I often found that very interesting.
I'm going to try that. I love that. What a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would choose Einstein. Yeah, what a great idea. Peter, let us know what's going on. Of course, the book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble as well. Is that, is it available?
Yeah, well, I have a couple different books I'll tell you about, but if you go to the site petercanova.com, that's PETERCANOVA.com, it will tell you about my whole body of work. So I have a fictional trilogy called The First Souls Trilogy, which has won 25 national and international book awards, including Best Book Series. And it's a geopolitical spiritual thriller about the first souls to incarnate in materiality that appear at different critical junctures of human history.
Oh, I wondered what that was, where it says First
Souls.
I was looking on your site.
Yeah.
It says First Souls. Okay.
First Souls Trilogy, yeah. And actually we're working right now on getting the first book into a TV series, which is called Pope Annalisa, about an African nun who becomes the first female pope at a time when America and Iran are going into a nuclear war. And then the nonfiction book, the one we've been talking about here, Quantum Spirituality, that actually is all the decades of research that I put into that was the underpinning of the fictional trilogy. So I wrote the fictional trilogy first, and then I said, you know what, I've got all these notes and I've got all this research, so maybe I should put it in a more systematic form for people who, you know, want a more of a workbook kind of thing. And so I wrote Quantum Spirituality, and it became an instant Amazon bestseller. And it actually just swept the American Book Fest Best Book Awards. It was entered in four categories, and it won in all four categories, first place.
Wow,
so,
wonderful.
It's been doing very well. And then also I have a podcast called Quantum Spirituality on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network out of Boston. And that's also, you can access through that. You can access it through the portal of my website or just Google Quantum Spirituality, Peter Canova. There's a bunch of archived YouTube videos up there. When I have time, which is getting pretty tight these days, I do speak a little bit around the country, but that's becoming less and less.
Well, you've got a lot of good resources on your site. You've got articles, and you've got the podcast, and a lot of good stuff there. You also know some acquaintance friends of mine from Good Morning La La Land.
I was
Aaron.
On their show almost 5 years ago, I think. It's been a while. Well, please give them my regards when you see them. I really enjoyed their show.
I will. Jess, I'm still in contact with. This is great. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and also everything, how to reach you is in the podcast description box, which is great. But love what you're doing, and I loved what you've shared, and I'm actually going to try that meditation. I love that. I'm going to try that meditation that you suggested. Peter, thank
you.
Yeah,
good. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I will. Okay, you take good care. Thanks for being on.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. If you're just getting in, that was Peter Canova. You can go to petercanova.com. We were talking about his most recent book, Quantum Spirituality, Science, Gnostic Mysticism, and Connecting with some really good information and insight there. Kind of what he was talking about with information reminded me of information, the light coming in, creating a form, right? Anyway, let me know if you get the book and you like it. Let me know. He does have an Instagram also. Anyway, all of that is in the description box below. You can connect with him there. Thank you all for being here and co-creating this. I really enjoy our time together. I'm so grateful and so enjoy. All right, you can find me also, all of that's in the description box, but Instagram, YouTube, Patreon. If you're new to the program, come back, call in, and let's chat. And always, you guys, remember to shine your light, share your insights, and, of course, keep a like.
Awakenings broadcast every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows available on iTunes. For continued awakened conversations and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook. And check out Michelle's blog at soulplayground.com. And keep awake.